One time, the queen was walking through the palace, and she said, "Oh, the same walls, and the same windows, and the same draperies, and the same ceiling, and the same floor, the same kitchens, and the same dining rooms, and the same bedrooms, and the same everything. Ah, it's boring already being in this palace. Let's build a new palace, a nice palace. After all, we've been living in this palace a long time. It's time we had something even better. Something beautiful. A real, real nice millionaire king's royal palace." Well, the king said to the queen, "I want to make you happy. You're my queen. So let's build a nice brand new palace." And she says, "But it has to be bigger and more beautiful than this one. In fact, it has to be bigger and more beautiful than any palace, because many times we have other kings and queens visiting us. It would be embarrassing if they said, 'Oh, our palace is nicer than your palace.' We want them to come over here and say, 'Oh, you have the nicest palace in the world. Our palace looks like a tent next to your palace, or a trailer or something.' Ah, then we'll really feel like we got the best palace." How do you go about building a palace? First, you have to have smart men called architects, and they first have to draw pictures of the new palace. Otherwise, how do you know what it's going to look like? They have to plan it first on paper. They have to draw the outside, they have to draw the inside, the rooms, how they're going to be. They have to make the measurements, how big everything is going to be, even how big the windows are going to be, where the windows are going to be, where the doors are going to be, and how it's going to look outside, if it'll be one floor, or two floors, or three floors, if there's going to be balconies, what kind of roof it's going to have. Everything gets planned in a picture first, then they look into the picture, and they figure out how to build it from the picture. They measure how much wood they're going to need, how much bricks they're going to need, or how many boards or stones or whatever. All comes from the smart planning of the architects. And so the king called to his palace the best architects of the city. He made a meeting, and he said, "You architects, your job is to design buildings and to draw buildings before they're built. The queen has requested a brand new, magnificent, beautiful royal palace to show off to all of our friends. And we want the most beautiful palace. And all of you architects are going to have a chance to draw pictures of a beautiful palace. And of course, whoever will come up with the nicest picture, we will build the palace according to your picture. You will have the honor of having designed our beautiful palace, and everybody will know that you're the one that came up with the beautiful idea. And of course, you'll be paid very well with bags of gold for your work." And the architects got very excited and very busy, going home and telling their wives, "I'll be locked up in my office for a few days. I have to draw a palace for the king and the queen." And so the architects got busy architecting and drawing, and they spent days and days on their work. And then finally came the day that the king called them back to the palace to show what they came up with. And the queen was sitting on her royal throne next to the king. And she was so excited. "Ooh, I can hardly wait to see our new home. What it's going to look like." "Okay," the king said, "one by one, the architects will bring their pictures and we'll pick the best one." And the first one came up. And he was working so hard for so many days. And they unrolled the paper, and the queen looked at it. "Ew, I don't like this place. I don't want to live in such a looking house like that. And the king said, I'm sorry. Of course, his face fell, turned red. He was very disappointed and upset, but what could he do? The king did not pick his house. And the next one came up, and they unrolled his paper, and he was so excited, maybe the king will pick his paper. And the queen looked at it. Ugh. Not for me. It's too yucky looking. Well, his work went down the drain, and he was sent home. They gave them little prizes before they left. And the third architect came. He had been working and fitting for days and days. And the queen looked at it. Yeah. No. This is not the kind of a palace for us. Something much better than this. And each one they didn't like. Until finally it came to the last one. And also that one, she turned up her nose and made a face. And she didn't like it. And the king said, what are we going to do? There's no palace that you like. And she started to cry and get very upset. I want a new palace to live in, and I don't have one yet. And she started getting very upset. And she started screaming, I have a headache. Well, the king says, we have to call for our doctor, the Rambam. The Rambam was the doctor of the king and the queen. And they called the Rambam. And they told the Rambam the queen was feeling very, very sick. What's the problem? What happened? Why do you feel sick? And she explained what happened with the architects and with the palace. And the king said to the Rambam, please give my wife medicine quick. She doesn't feel good. The Rambam says, okay, I'm going to run and get the medicine for the queen. I'll be back in a few minutes. And the Rambam came back holding a paper rolled up. The queen said, doctor, where's the medicine? I don't feel good. I don't see any pills. I don't see a spoon with a bottle or anything. I only see that you brought a paper. Now, what is this? Is this some kind of a joke? The Rambam says, well, you want medicine, don't you? Well, here it is. And he unrolled the paper. And the queen saw, oh, look, this is the most gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful royal palace I've ever seen. What a beautiful picture. I've never seen such a beautiful palace in my whole life. Where did this come from? Which architect made this? He's the winner. The Rambam says, well, I just sat down and drew this picture for you. You? Doctor? You drew this picture? Yeah, I drew the picture. I knew you needed a palace, so you had to have a palace, so I drew the palace for you. Oh, the king saw the Rambam is very smart. Not only he knows medicine, and not only he knows, of course, Torah. Of course, Torah is everything. Everything comes from the Torah. And not only he knows smart questions for the king, he knows how to draw a beautiful picture like the best architect. And he saw exactly the things that the queen would love to have in her palace. And she was, of course, cured. She was good now. She felt good because she had a palace. And the king was happy. And of course, the Rambam became even greater in the eyes of the king. And the officers found out, and the architects found out, that there was a new palace that was going to be built according to the plan of the winner architect. Who was it? Everybody was in the room. The king turned up, the queen turned up her nose and said, yuck! Until they found out that it was the Rambam himself, who wasn't even an architect. He just happened to be a very smart yid who learned Torah, and everything comes from the Torah. And this made the officers of the king even more jealous than they already were of the Rambam. And so, Kinalach, when it came time to give the king, that the king should give the Rambam big bags of gold, the Rambam says, "King, I really do not want big bags of gold, or even little bags of gold, as my reward. I would like to ask something else from the king instead. A favor." And the king said, "Rambam, ask of me anything and you'll get it. Because I'm so happy with you as my doctor and as my advisor." You know what an advisor is, right? You ask questions, you get good answers. "And also you're my royal architect to design the beautiful palace. If you would like to ask a favor of me, you'll get the favor. I'll do anything for you. Ask anything." Now, Kinalach, at that time, one of the officers, who was a good man, that the Rambam knew was a good man, so he did something that the king got very, very upset. And the king threw him in the royal dungeon. That means the jail. And he was going to put him there for the rest of his life until he dies and turns into a big pile of bones. That's how angry the king was. The Rambam knew that he was a good man, and the officers made trouble for him, and they got him in trouble, and it wasn't his fault. Only that he wasn't so lucky as the Rambam that Hashem helps all the time, and the king was angry and threw him in the dungeon, and he was still there. And so the Rambam asked, "If I have my wish, it's that the officer that was thrown into the dungeon should be let free. This is all I ask. I know he's innocent, that means he didn't do the bad thing, and I would like the king to let him out." "Well," the king said, "you know that I already said he should be thrown there for the rest of his life, and whatever I say goes. But since you made me so happy, I'll make you happy, and I'm going to make an exception this time. In other words, I'm going to do it anyway, and I'll let him out." And so they let the officer out of the jail, and the Rambam was very happy. But, Kinalach, the story is not over. It's only beginning. It's a long story. The royal builders built the beautiful palace according to the Rambam's pictures, and it came out even more beautiful than the picture. It was such a wonder to look at. And the queen and the king were so happy. And now the palace was built on the outside. The rooms were designed like the Rambam showed the insides. But of course now the walls were all empty. And now they have to fix up the inside. This is no longer for an architect. This is for an artist. And now the king called out to the different artists in the kingdom to come. He wants ideas to make beautiful paintings in the palace on the inside. And of course the Rambam was too busy to take part in all of this, and he was already finished with his work. And the king chose an artist named Karkos. Karkos. Karkos the artist. And the king said to Karkos, "You have the job of decorating the walls of the palace and making them look beautiful." And Karkos brought his paints, and he brought his brushes, and he brought his shmatas, and he brought all of his things, and he starts to work and decorate the beautiful walls of the palace. And he worked for a long time, until the work was done. And the king and the queen came in to look at his work, and they were very, very happy. They said, "Karkos, you decorated our palace and made it look beautiful." And now, Karkos, it's time for you to get your reward, your bags of gold. But this Karkos was very, very a schlecht mensch. As good as an artist he was, that's how schlecht he was. And one thing that made him so schlecht, the main thing, is that he hated Yidden. He hated Yidden. Especially the Rambam. And especially since all of his friends, many of them were officers, were always speaking against the Rambam. And he also did not like the Rambam. And they said, Karkos, whatever gold the king would give you as a reward for what you do, we'll give you double if you do what we say. We know you're a good artist, and so you, of course, will get a reward from the king. Don't ask the king for a reward of gold. We'll give you double the gold. We will tell you what to ask the king, because we found out something that the Rambam did, and we're going to do the same tricky thing. And so it came time that the king should give the gold to Karkos. And he said, King, it's not the gold that I want. But by the way, how much gold was it that you wanted to give me? And the king says, I want to give you 1,000 golds. Now Karkos wrote it down very fast to remember that he should get 2,000 from his officer friends, who said he'll give him double. But he made pretend that he doesn't want the gold of the king. He says, King, I don't want the gold. I want a favor to ask from the king. And the king said, well, I don't really do that. Ask, a person should ask me a favor. And the officers told Karkos to say, but king, isn't there an officer called the Rambam that you gave him a favor because he made the palace for you on the outside? Well, the king says, yes, that's true. Well, Karkos says, I did the inside of the palace. I also want a favor of the king. Isn't that only fair of the king? And isn't it true that whatever the king says, that's what goes? The king says, okay. The Karkos says now, okay, I want the Rambam to be taken on a boat in the middle of the ocean and thrown off in the middle of the ocean from the boat to be drowned in the middle of the ocean. That's what I want. And king, you have to do my favor, because you did a favor for somebody else, you have to do it for me. Because Karkos hated Yidden, and the officers bribed Karkos to do this schlechte thing, to pay him double the money. And the king didn't want to, but he felt that he had to promise this to Karkos, since he had to promise also a favor to Rambam. And the king said, in 3 days, I will have the Rambam thrown into the middle of the ocean from a boat, because that is your wish. Yep. And now the king called in the Rambam, and he said, in 3 days, you are going to go on a boat ride, what's going to be your last boat ride. Prepare your family that you're never going to come back. You're going to be taken into the middle of the ocean, and you're going to have to be thrown off the boat, and you'll never be able to swim back. This is what I have to do. And the Rambam was so surprised. What's going on? What did I do to deserve this from the king? I am taking care of the king's family as the doctor. I have been the king's advisor. I give advice to the king and take care of the king, and many, many times do special favors for the king. I designed the palace. and I didn't even ask for any money, why all of a sudden I have to be thrown off a boat in the middle of the ocean? The king said, this is the favor that I promised to do for Karkos, and this is what I have to do. There's no choice in the matter. And the Rambam tried to plead with the king and to ask him to save his life, but the king wouldn't listen. And the Rambam sees there's no way out. Of course, he has to trust Hashem that Hashem is going to help. But right now, the king is going to do what he ordered. And the Rambam goes home and he says goodbye to his family. And he asked them to daven for him and give tzedakah and say tehillim. And of course, don't give up because Hashem can always help. And then on the third day, the king sent an officer. It happened to be, maybe the king wasn't thinking exactly 100% clearly that day, the officer that the Rambam had freed from the jail, remember? Remember that officer? This was the officer that the king had asked to take the Rambam in the boat. It seems he picked the wrong officer. And so the officer comes to the Rambam's house and he says, I have orders to take you out in the ocean and throw you off the boat. And I have to do it or else the king will be angry at me and put me back in the jail and maybe even kill me. So I have to do the orders of the king. I have no choice. And the Rambam went into the boat with the officer, and they sailed away into the ocean, way far, far away into the middle of the ocean, that the officer was told by the king, make sure it's a place that the Rambam will never, never be able to swim back to land. He'll die. And each time the officer said that the Rambam has to jump off, he says, ah, don't jump off yet. We'll go a little further. I really don't want to make you to jump off. After all, you saved my life and everything. But what can I do? I have to make you jump off. But we'll go a little bit more. I'll let you live a little bit longer. And the whole time the Rambam is saying tilim and davening to Hashem to help. And they go a little bit further in the ocean. I think it's time that you better jump off into the ocean. The Rambam says, just let me finish this capital over here. Okay, we'll go a little bit more. And then go a little bit more into the ocean. And the officer starts to cry. I don't really want to do this. After all, you saved my life. But what can I do? The king told me that I have to do this. And if I don't do this, the king is going to be upset at me. I don't know. All of a sudden, the Rambam had an idea. The Rambam says, look, you see way over there? It looks like a little island. Yes, it does, doesn't it? Well, let's go over to that island. They go near the island. The Rambam says, look, I'm going to jump off the boat, and I'll swim to the island. And then you can tell the king that I jumped off the boat in the middle of the ocean. It's true. I jumped off the boat in the middle of the ocean. The king doesn't have to know it's an island over there. And I'll swim to the island. And the officer says, well, you stay on the island, and I'll bring you food and clothes and things that you need and take care of you until we could figure out maybe something else is going to happen that you can come home. Oh, okay. And the Rambam jumped off the boat in the middle of the ocean and he swims over to the island. And the officer of the king takes the boat back home, back to the palace. And the king says, did you take the Rambam off into the middle of the ocean in the boat? Yes, king. And did he jump off in the middle of the ocean from the boat? Yeah, he sure did. Oh, that's good. I did what I promised to Karkos. And the king felt that he'll never see the Rambam again finished. And of course the other officers were so happy. Hey, no more Rambam. no more Rambam, we don't have to have that Rambam anymore. And they made a big party that night for all the officers. They were so happy that the Rambam was gotten rid of, and so they thought. A few days went by, a few weeks went by. Every couple of days, the officer who took the Rambam in the boat, the one that the Rambam saved his life, would take packages, food, clothes, different things that the Rambam asked for, Sforim, out to the island, to the Rambam. He would sail out in the ocean and give the Rambam things that he needed. And he would tell the Rambam what's happening back at the palace. And this went on for a few days and a few weeks. And one day the Rambam said, listen, you've been very good, Baruch Hashem, that you come and you take care of me out here. But what's going to happen if sometime you're not going to be able to make it and I run out of food? I'll starve. The best thing is, bring me a fishing pole. You know what's a fishing pole?
Yeah.
It's a long pole, and it's got a special kind of a string and a hook and cheese, and you throw it into the water, and the fishy comes and he bites, and you catch him. And that way, if the Rambam needs to, he'll go fishing from the island, and he'll make sure that he doesn't run out of food. He can catch fish, and as long as the fish has fins and scales, which are the two signs of a kosher fish, the Rambam will be able to eat them. Then he'll have kosher fishy. And you don't have to shech the fish. And so kinalach, the next trip, the officer brought the Rambam not only packages of things, but he brought him a fishing pole, like the Rambam had asked for, and he left back to the palace. This was all a secret, of course. And the Rambam was always davening that something should happen, he should be able to go back home. Well, every 2-3 days, the officer would come. This time, 2-3 days went by, the officer didn't come. Another 2-3 days went by, the officer didn't come. 10 days went by, the officer didn't come. The Rambam ran out of the food. And now he took his fishing pole and he would go fishing in the ocean. So the only thing that he would eat for breakfast is fish. For lunch, fish. For supper, fish. The only thing he would have. But of course, he was thankful to Hashem he was alive. Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai lived for 13 years in a cave. All he had to eat was carobs, boxer. So the Rambam says, I'm lucky. I have fish, at least I have different kind of fish. But I wonder what's going on that the officer didn't come. Maybe the king caught him at what he's doing and he's punishing him and he's throwing him back in jail and I'll be out here for the rest of my life. The Rambam was worried what's going to be, but he trusted in Hashem. Well, Kinalach, back in the palace, so I'm going to tell you what happened. One evening, in the brand new palace, the king went for a walk on the patio, like outside, and he was watching the ocean and all the beautiful things that you could see from the patio. And the wind was blowing, and then the sun started to go down, and the king watched the sunset that was so beautiful over the ocean. And the king leaned over, there was like a wall over there, and his hands were like over the wall, and it was very high up on the palace, and the palace was over a hill, and the hill went down into the ocean, and the king looked down, looked at the gardens, he looked out at the ocean and saw the sun setting, and he felt so nice. And for a minute he just relaxed and felt the wind in his face. All of a sudden, without realizing it, he felt his special ring that is on his finger, the ring of the king that he signs, he stamps the letters, and he stamps the laws and the gzeiros, a special beautiful ring, very expensive, millions of dollars of gold and diamonds. It starts to slip off his finger. Before he realized what was happening. It had fallen off. He tried to grab it, but it was falling straight down. It reached the bottom and hit the hill and starts rolling down the hill, and it bounces off a rock into the ocean. Oh no, the king said, my ring, it fell off my finger, it fell down into the ocean. What am I going to do? I have to get it back. It's priceless. It's worth millions, more than millions. It's priceless. And the king called all of his officers to an emergency meeting. And he tells the officers that all the officers have to dive into the ocean to find his ring. And they have to come up with it. And he picked one of the officers, and it happened to be the one that had taken the Rambam out into the ocean. Do you remember that officer?
Yeah.
He says, I hold you responsible. You have to find me my ring. You have to make sure that my ring is found, and I'm going to give you 40 days. If you don't have my ring in 40 days,